Welcome to Kicking It with KPOC, a podcast about business stories and marketing advice. I'm Jake.
And I'm Morella.
And this is episode 25, the top 7 things you need to know about blogging as a business. Today, Morella and I will be talking about blogging. Let's jump right into our list of things every business should know about blogging. Number one is going to be that anyone can blog. So you don't have to be any sort of marketing guru or anything. You just need to be confident in the fact that you're a business owner and you're probably an expert about whatever it is that your business does or the industry that you're in.
You have something to say.
You do. So once you realize that you have something to say, then you just need to write. Just write the blog posts and just focus on something you know, focus on something you care about within your business, and just make sure it's related to your business. Stay on topic about whatever you decide to write about. Mm-hmm. And the other main thing to keep in mind is the headline. The headline's probably the most important part to a certain extent. You want a headline that's going to cause people to click when you share it, and that's going to entice people when they first land on the page. The headline's super important, so just make sure that it is enticing and engaging and is going to make someone want to read your article, but just don't get too clickbaity where it's like...
Yeah, don't be a con artist.
Yeah, this one weird trick that you need to save $200 on car insurance in Florida, like, that works for certain stuff, but if you're running, you know, most businesses, you just want to stick with something not too clickbaity.
Yeah, I strongly dislike blog posts that make me think I'm going to see something new, something like, oh, no one has seen this before. Mm-hmm. Here's the answer to whatever. And then I click on it and then the person is just like rambling. And then I just X out and leave. The title did not match the body of the blog post.
Yeah, most of the people using those headlines are doing something slightly different than what most local business owners are going to want to be doing. So probably avoid that.
Yeah. And another benefit of blogging is that it's a really good way to build your brand image and kind of develop your voice and develop your brand image and how you want people to see you, how you want people to hear you and also perceive you, and how, I guess it's a good way to build authority in your industry. And if your customers and even if your competitors or anyone outside of your business sees that you are coming up with really good and useful information, you're putting that out there, then you are kind of like the go-to person in your industry, and people start to respect you and your brand. And all of that can be done through some blogging.
Yeah, and that's a good place to do it. You definitely can build up your authority, and that's going to help you as a business. Mm-hmm. And I guess that kind of ties in with number three, which is that it can help your website SEO. You, by building content and answering the questions that people are asking, that is looked upon favorably by Google. They are looking for content that answers people's questions. That's ultimately what they are. They're a search engine. People are searching for things and they're mm-hmm. trying to find the best answer to provide that person. So when you write the content that answers the questions that people are asking, that's an excellent first step to doing well with SEO, ranking higher organically in Google's search results. Mm-hmm. So I always recommend starting with something that's more specific. Mm-hmm. It's going to be easier to rank higher for those things when you blog about them. If you go after something super generic, especially in a competitive industry, you're going up against people who already have built up a lot of authority and they've already answered the questions really well. So you can certainly compete with them, but if you're just getting started out, that's probably not the best bet. Go after something specific that you know about, like we mentioned earlier, and just write a really good specific answer. And really, don't even think about it just from the SEO perspective. You're also building your brand and you're just, you know, building up good content that you can use for other purposes. Unless you have a really big budget and a lot of time on your hands, SEO is going to be pretty tough for you when you're just starting out. So it's definitely something that it's a benefit, but don't make it be the only thing that you're thinking about when you're blogging, because you might get disappointed, especially early on, if you're only focused on that.
Yes. And it doesn't have to be super complicated and super intricate. You don't have to like reveal like these one of a kind like revelations or think like, oh my God, I have to have something super amazing to say and something that's totally revolutionary. Otherwise, I shouldn't be writing about anything. It can be, you can write about simple things. Whatever your customers are thinking about and asking about, write about that. And just think that everything has been said and done before. And you should just do it and say it your way and put your spin on it and make it relevant to your customers.
Yeah. And hopefully when you do that, you get a little bit of a SEO boost.
That's true. And really, which brings us to number four, and that's about just making deep connections with your customers through blogging and kind of revealing your inner soul and like your inner expert to them through your blog posts. So they kind of come to you when they need help. And one of the seminars we attended, the marketing seminar, one of the speakers talked about stories and how human beings trade stories to connect with other people. And you can think of your blog posts as that. It's you telling the story of your business, of your brand, and kind of interweaving your customers' questions into those stories. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your customers want to know who you are, what you do, why do you do what you do. So tell them all of those things. And just keep your customer in mind when you're writing your blog post. You're not trying to like win an award or like be the most like prolific writer or any of that stuff. Like you are, unless you're in the business of being the most prolific writer, then you don't need to be.
Yeah. And in addition to you learning or to your customers learning from you, you can also learn from them, see how they react to the blog posts. And you might shift your strategy a little bit once you see which blog posts are doing well, or what people are commenting or what they're coming back and saying to you based on what you write about. It can really be a two-way street.
Yes. And also kind of keep an eye on things that people are saying when they call your business, when mm-hmm. they email your business, when they interact with your business on social media. If you do a Facebook post and a whole bunch of your customers leave questions about something pertaining to that post, maybe that is a good topic for your next blog post. So just kind of stay in tune with what people are demanding, what the masses want, I guess.
Yeah. Getting questions that people commonly ask either to your salespeople or on social media
yes,
are great places to get topics for your blog post that you're going to write, which really ties in with our next one, number five. It's the perfect choice to go omni-channel.
Right.
And, you know, omni-channel is a big buzzword out there. It really just means using multiple channels together to gain some synergy. So it's a situation where hopefully 1 + 1 = 3 instead of 2.
Yeah. And kind of, I guess the way I look at it is like thinking, you think about where are people buying products or services like yours? And do you need to be there? If you need to be there, then you should be there, but you shouldn't be trying to be everywhere.
Yeah. Don't.
Yeah, some like platforms are not relevant for you.
Don't stretch yourself too thin. Do as many platforms as you can reasonably and as many promotional channels as you can. And like we were just getting into a little bit before, it's the perfect opportunity blogging is to, you know, share that blog post on other promotion channels, whether it's social media or anywhere else. And it's also a good tool to use as marketing or sales collateral. You know, if one of your salespeople, they do have that question that they get asked a lot, and then you've went ahead and wrote that blog post about it, they can just go ahead and email the link to that blog post in addition to whatever else they want to say with, hey, here's some more information about that. We get that question a lot, actually, and here's the answer to it. And here's why maybe our product is the right solution to that, or why that objection isn't necessarily something to be concerned about, because we outlined here why, you know, why it's not.
And really, that could be the thing that tips the sale in your favor. Mm-hmm. If someone is on the fence or someone is deciding whether to do business with you versus someone else in your industry, if you send them information that's relevant and it seems like you really care about your customers and you took the time to actually answer the question in form of a blog post, that could convey to that customer that you are the more caring business mm-hmm. and that he or she should go with you.
But also be honest.
Right.
It sometimes means, you know, maybe not losing a customer, but maybe losing a customer in the short term, like disclose pricing, like you
right.
explain how much the website costs. And maybe some people aren't going to buy the website from you then. They're going to go somewhere else. But that's probably good for both you and them. If your price wasn't a good match for them, then, you know, giving them the honest answer, telling them where they can get it cheaper or more expensive if they need a higher quality or, you know, something you don't offer, mm-hmm. then maybe later on they do realize that your product is a good match. You've educated them and they trust you because you are willing to maybe give up the business in a sense to point them in the right direction.
Yeah, you're essentially putting the customer first.
Yeah.
And you are saying, I care about you and your wants and your needs, and I want you to get the best service or product that matches your needs. And if I am not that person, I'm okay with it. Here's where you can get, you know, a better match for what you're looking for. And I think people most of the time are going to appreciate the honesty that you put out there instead of just saying like, yeah, I can do this for you and just kind of taking people's money and not really being able to deliver on what they need.
Yeah. And especially the pricing, people are going to figure it out.
Yeah.
The first thing I do when a website doesn't have pricing is I Google the name of that product plus pricing in Google. And then either a competitor discloses pricing on that particular thing, or you end up on a review site that discloses the pricing of you and all of your competitors. And then that just gives the person an opportunity to get more educated about your competitors and have more of a reason to maybe go with one of them instead.
Yeah. So just be honest. And, you know, I always say that honesty is the best policy.
Yeah.
And you can't win every customer. You shouldn't even be trying to. And that's okay.
Yep.
Which takes us to the next point of the fact that blogging allows you as a business to really control your promotional efforts. You get to craft the story. You frame the story. You write the story. You present the story. So it gives you a lot of control over how you want to promote your business and your products and services. So instead of being, I guess, beholden to Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, you control that. It's on your website. So for example, if you were relying on Facebook for all your promotional stuff, and one day Facebook decides that they don't want to be Facebook anymore and they delete all your stuff, they've deleted it. It's gone.
Yeah.
They're not going to call you up and say like, hey, Bob, like, we're thinking about deleting everything. Like, do you want to save any of this stuff? They're just going to wipe it out. But when your blog content is on your website, you own it, and you also have the luxury of repurposing it. You can take a blog post and make a video about it. You can make, you know, you can create an Instagram story from it. You can do an Instagram post. You can do a lot with it. And the other powerful thing is that you can collect people's email addresses, people who come to your blog, mm-hmm. and you can send them notifications when a new blog post comes out, which is very powerful. So it's a good way to keep people coming for more.
Yeah. And one of the other things you can do is, I'm sure you've gotten these on your phone where you get the little push notification that something has happened in an app or on a website. And you can do the same thing with your blog pretty easily. You install this little plugin or whatever. And then when you get a new, it asks people to opt in on your website. Do you want to get notified when this website, you know, mm-hmm. has a new post? And then it sends it to all the people who have agreed. So it's just like email, but it's just another way to, you know, encourage more people to come back to your blog.
Yeah. And it allows you to stay in contact and kind of keep your brand at the front of their mind.
Yeah. So, you know, controlling the content forever and just making it your own hub. We talk to a lot of clients about this and mm-hmm. other people we talk to. When you control your website and your content and your email list and you have that central core that you control, then you can go use any platform that pops up anytime, whether it's Facebook, Snapchat, whatever it is. Like, you have this core of marketing material that you control, and then you use these other platforms and tools, but you're not reliant on them for your business.
Exactly. And essentially, you have more control of your destiny.
Yeah. And that's a good place to be.
Right. That's where we're all trying to be. And I guess we should now talk about the ROI and like, what can people expect? Like, how long does it take and all that good stuff that everyone wants to know?
Yeah. Number seven, it takes time and effort to achieve a positive ROI.
Yes.
You know, blogging is very easy in the sense that it's easy to do. Anyone can write a post and put it out there. You can get a free website. You can post stuff on there. We don't recommend that. We recommend that you know, have a website that looks nice and has all of that stuff that we've talked about previously. And then, you know, you write good content, you put in the effort to write something that people are actually going to want to read. And that's the difficult part, in a sense, producing quality content that people want to read, doing the research to get that unique idea, or crafting your own spin on, you know, an idea that's already been out there, whether it's talking about it in terms of your industry or whatever your life story or business story adds to that idea. That takes time, whether it's you doing it or whether you have an employee doing it or whether you have to hire a freelance writer. And either with employees or freelance writers, you're going to have to pay more money for the higher quality. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's going to be an investment on your part to make that happen. And so that means you have to dedicate time and money to it. And in terms of how long it can take months or even years, especially if you're a new business and your goal is SEO or branding. It's going to take time for the results to accumulate, for people to recognize you as an authority, for Google to recognize you as an authority and to move you up higher organically. So it's a little bit easier if you have an established business, you have a customer list that you can start sending these blog posts to, then you can take more of an immediate advantage of the posts you write. Mm-hmm. But for a new business, it's going to take time and you're going to have to willing to go, you know, the long haul if you want it to work for SEO and for branding purposes.
And it also depends how competitive
yes.
your industry or your space is. If you have 10 other people who are operating in your industry and they are like blogging beasts mm-hmm. and they're just putting out content and doing all this stuff, it's going to take you a little bit longer to actually surpass them. And but if you are in an industry where there are no blogging beasts and everyone is kind of, you know, laying low, then you can like get ahead fairly faster.
Yeah. If you're in law or marketing, even,
oh yeah. Well, that's just like competitive industry times 20.
Yeah. It's expensive. There's right. people who are spending, you know, tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars a month on, you know, that industry. So it really does depend a lot.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean that you should not blog.
No.
Like someone can still end up on your website and your blog post can't convince them that you are the right, like right law firm to hire.
Yeah.
Just because your blog post is not going to show up in like the Google snippet type of thing mm-hmm. doesn't mean that you shouldn't be writing a blog post.
Yeah. You just need to be more realistic. Yes. Depending on what industry you're in, you might have to do a little bit of research or right. talk to someone about, you know, how much work does have to be done in this industry to rank higher. Or just focus on the other stuff that you can get out of it. Share it on your social media. Mm-hmm. Use your blog post to convince existing customers to mm-hmm. buy additional products.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing. Convincing existing people that, you know, hey, I'm still here. Come back and buy from me. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want people to forget about you.
That's true.
Is there anything else that we should have told people about blogging?
No, nothing. It can be a struggle. It's sometimes a struggle for myself because I'm often in my head and mm-hmm. I'm rereading what I wrote and I think that I need to be like Mark Twain of freaking writing blog posts. And then I have to snap back and remind myself like, no, just like write the way you're thinking and just put it out there and stop perfecting it.
Get it out there. There's going to be mistakes. There's always mistakes. Published books have mistakes in them. You can't avoid mistakes.
Exactly. I mean, but I'm not saying don't check your grammar. Well, yeah, you should. Yeah. And make sure that it has like a good flow and all of that stuff. But it doesn't have to be like an award-winning novel or any of that stuff.
Yeah. Better to be good and on time than
that's
perfect
right.
and late.
So I think that's all I have.
It's been a great 25th episode, and definitely do feel free to reach out to us if you have any questions or comments about anything we talked about today or marketing in general. You can visit us on our website, kickingitwithkpok.com, or on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as KPok Marketing. This has been Kicking It with KPok, brought to you by KPok Marketing. Thanks for listening. We'll have something just as great for you next time.